Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
Welcome to the first episode and live recording of the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast, where our goal is to bring trusted information to women so we can feel and perform our best. I am Sarah Gross, your host for this evening. I'm super stoked about this new podcast, as well as our Women's Performance Summit that we're launching tonight. Stay with me because I'm hoping everyone's going to learn something tonight so you can feel and perform your best. I was a pro triathlete for 14 years. I'm a two-time Ironman champion. I have a PhD in women's history, which means that I sort of dug into feminist methodologies around how we put women back onto the pages of history. I'm the founder and CEO of Feisty Media, where our goal is to create an empowering culture for active women. I think that phraseology with empowering culture is really intentional on our part in terms of our goal. We often talk about empowering women to do things, which is amazing and fantastic. And I want everyone to feel empowered. But without a culture that is actually empowering and supports the things that we're doing, we only get halfway there. So one of our goals is to help change that culture for everyone. So tonight, we are launching this new podcast, but also I'm just basically giving away the ending now. Our tickets are going on sale for the Women's Performance Summit. So this year we're hosting our second annual Women's Performance Summit. It's March 25th to 27th and it's virtual. So anyone can come super easy. You don't have to fly across the country and you can win two tickets to that tonight here if you participate with us in the chat. So my team, I can see them commenting. Basically, the more you comment, the more chances you have to win. Well, welcome everyone. I'm so glad you're here. I'm going to introduce our tonight's panel now. First up, we have retired Army officer, former USAT committee member, triathlon coach, and our feisty community innovator, and actually general bringer of hilarity, I would say. No pressure, Jamila. Jamila Gale Eggins. Welcome, Jamila.
Hey, so thanks. Now I feel like I have to bring it. Like
you definitely do. I was like, oh, how's she going to feel about bringer of hilarity?
I do my best.
Yeah, you do. You do well. Okay, our second panelist is a pioneering researcher, innovator, and entrepreneur in the women's performance space. She's the co-author of Roar and Next Level, which is a not so secret book that's coming out this year. She sells her online courses at drstacysims.com and she speaks frequently to audiences around the world, although mostly virtual in the last couple of years. Dr. Stacy Sims.
Hello.
Hey, Stacy.
How are you?
Welcome.
Thanks.
Okay. And our third panelist, the host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast, co-author of Roar and Next Level with Dr. Stacy Sims, one of the leaders, the main leader of the Feisty Menopause membership and online group, a longtime endurance athlete and writer in the health and performance space, Celine Yeager. Celine, welcome.
Hi.
Oh, everyone's saying hi. So can we all give a little bit of love in the chat to our panelists? So last year, as mentioned, and some of you, it sounds like you were there, I can see in the chat, Feisty Media saw a need to host a Women's Performance Summit. And this is because we had observed that there's a lot of BS information, right, Celine? I always hear Celine's voice in my head when I say that line. I think you coined the phrase. You coined the use of bullshit in our amongst our team. Out there for women coming in the fitness and health industries. And that gets even worse as we get older. We saw the need to bring together trusted sources to get good information into the hands of active women. So Stacey, let's start with you here. You were a pioneer in the realm of exercise science. And I think you were one of the people, or if not the first person, to kind of put up your hand and say, wait a second. If we don't study women, how do we know if the research results apply to us? And I'm sure things have changed a little bit, but by how much? That's kind of my question. What do you see as the biggest change in sports science? And what new directions are you seeing that will help women?
I'd like to be more optimistic, but it's still very slow in the process. We're seeing better methodology, but there's still a lot of pushback. And there's large voices within the research community that's like, wait, there's no evidence. And the reason why they're saying there's no evidence is because there's not enough studies done. So when we start going through all the stuff and disseminating down to what actually is happening, there are a few key studies that are starting to come out that's really showing that there are differences. We need to pay attention to them. But then it always ends up with, we need more research. So then one of the problems there are the research dollars. A lot of them aren't, like, we look at the stats and we know that papers where women are PIs are not as publishable or as often published as men. So you still have that discrepancy. And part of funding is how well are you published. So there's still a lot of work to go in the science department. But on the flip side of it, the conversation is being pushed out there. So more and more people are asking for it. And more that we ask for it, the more the research dollars become available and the more authors get slammed if they don't follow proper methodological procedures, which is great. And I am one of those reviewers who's like, what do you mean? You can't study women and throw them all with the men and disseminate it out. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So you're seeing like the public outcry for information that I see all over, of course, my Instagram feed and elsewhere that's creating change in the science world.
Yeah. It's from either side. It's like you're having people are really interested. I get email requests to be a student all the time. People wanting to be PhDs and study female athlete stuff. And then they're getting out into like the starting part of their academic career. And then we have other people who are at my level who have been doing this for a while, who then are able to publish more because they have people working with them more. And so it's kind of a snowball effect, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And Celine, what about you? Like, what changes have you seen kind of in the fitness industry and also in the media?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a mixed bag. I mean, I'm a rose-colored glasses kind of girl, so I try to see the good stuff first. You know, there are definitely improvements, and you are seeing a wider representation of body sizes, body shapes. You're seeing sort of I wanted to say the demise of the whole beach body thing, but that's not true because it's still, now it's called wellness, you know, so, but they still sort of like slide that in there. And, you know, there's still so much, low carb, no carb. It's still so much of the emphasis, in my opinion, is still too much on what you see in the mirror, you know, and not, and, mm-hmm. and they just call that wellness. As far as like women being represented in, you know, in women's specific training and nutrition, there's definitely a hunger for that, which is great to see. You know, I have been invited to talk about menopause on many traditional male spaces, which has been really encouraging, frankly. I mean, I'm really happy to see that. I think one of the problems that I see emerging is that, you know, back in the day, to disseminate your information, you would have to sort of be published in a magazine or get a book or, you know, some get interviewed by somebody. But with the rise of TikTok and Instagram and YouTube, you know, it's great because it's an equalizer in some ways, but it's also problematic because if you're good at those places, you can push out any bullshit you want and mm-hmm. you can get millions of people to follow you, right? So that's a little bit of a double-edged sword that I'm definitely seeing come into play, especially as we have sort of raised this conversation. There's a lot of people coming in and it's creating noise. You know, it's creating a lot of noise. And so I do think that, you know, what you're doing here is pretty important because it's only going to get louder.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I see, and I, you probably see the same thing, and I'd love to know if it's affecting the industry, is there's a lot of outcry for a greater variety of women represented, you know, like different ages or different body types too, in terms of who we consider an athlete. Do you see that affecting some of the ways that decisions about what story gets published are happening, or what images get published?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And not, and in a largely positive way. You know, I mean, in my own career, and I've spoken very, very publicly about this, it used to be very limited in what you considered healthy or an athlete, you know, as far as the images, especially in a place like bicycling, you know, where I've spent so much of my career. And, you know, I remember one of the very early features that I wrote was on sort of like, get there, stay there, your ideal racing weight. You know, racing weight was so popular, and, you know, we did all these formulations, and I kept wanting to be like, can we just make people strong? And, you know, this whole thing. And, you know, now the cover of bicycling literally this month is like, it's all like, get strong. You know, there is no one weight that's magical. So there's been some improvements there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. And audience, have you all seen improvements? I'd love to know. Note in there while I ask Jamila the same question, because I'm thinking, Jamila, like, as a retired Army officer, right? Maybe this is, thinking maybe this is my bias coming through, but maybe you've seen a little bit of BS in your time.
Oh. I mean, just a small bit. And, you know, one of the bigger challenges is the military is a culture inside of a culture, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you think about just outside of the military, just intensify that. So everything we did was based off of males, to the point where, I mean, our top leadership for the majority of the time I was in was all male, because they said women weren't strong enough to serve in combat specific jobs. Well, the combat specific jobs are the people who got the top leadership. So, and by that, you know, you weren't going to lead past a certain point. And so I've seen a lot of change. A lot of change, mostly with the opening up of the combat arms MOS, and women proving that, I mean, they could carry their load, like their share. Since 2019, I think we have 75 females who have graduated Ranger School. That's a lot. And they're just proving that, you know, that earlier ideal that we can't do it is not necessarily true. I've seen it.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, have they seen CrossFitters, for example? When I think about female CrossFitters, like going out and doing an army training, it feels like.
Yeah. You know, well, so the problem is just the percentage of representation. Like, there's not a lot of females in the military. Most of them don't stay because it's not accommodating to different, you know, aspects of life. When you have, if you have two service members that are married, it is more likely that the woman will get out of the service and assume the caretaker role than the male. So, you know, you have those influences on military service, and the higher up you get, just the fewer there are. So they're there. Like, I know lots of badass, you know, women. And I also know badass women who made a choice not to stay in that type of culture and environment. So.
Interesting. Yeah. Folks are saying at home, you know, that I've seen that too, like that strong is the new skinny. Now I'm just reading between the lines of the comments, but there seems to be a general trend to that kind of more positive messaging. Still lots of fake acceptance and for show equality. That's true. Julie, I now lift heavy shit at age 53 and feel stronger than ever. Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. Like, I was a pro triathlete for 14 years and I feel stronger having taken up lifting as part of CrossFit, right? Like, it's the things we never knew, right? Which I probably should have done all along, but there was no research to show that. So. Okay, so we're calling this new podcast the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast. And the word performance, you know, I've heard this already from folks as we've kind of been building up to this launch this week. Like, it's often associated with elite athletes, but we're defining performance as something that every woman deserves to have. So, Jamila, I want to ask you this first. What does it mean for you to focus on performance in your life?
Oh, man. So many things, but I guess the question is this, you know, all that I have, is this where I want to be? in this space. And so I think a lot of us just accept, I can't lift, I can't do this, because you don't do it. And so kind of challenging the question and answering the question, like, do you want to lift more? Do you want to get better at this? And then spending the time doing it, you know, it's intimidating, right? To go into the gym for the first time and not know how to use the equipment, and the fear of, like, everyone's kind of, you feel like everyone's looking at you, but if anybody lifts, you know, no one's looking at you. They're all in the mirror critiquing themselves. But so for me, it's in all areas, right? Is this it? You know, like this whole thing that we're doing now started with a question. Like, you don't have to accept the status quo. You don't have to accept that, you know, the space that you're currently in is where you have to stay. And if there's another direction you want to go, regardless if there's representation there or not, like, start asking those questions, start taking those steps, and improve in that area. And so I was very scared of the gym 3 years ago. And then I went on to actually love the gym. I love the gym. Almost as much as I love the other three sports. but it started with a question, like, why don't you lift? Why don't you do more in a gym?
Yeah, it's interesting too that you brought up first, like when you started talking about strength training, the first thing you're talking about is your comfort level in the gym. And I think that's an experience that a lot of women have to different extents or in different ways, like how comfortable we feel in the space. It's like the first barrier before we even get to the science, you know, or how we lift or how we're including lifting into our programs. So that's why we like to talk about things in a multidisciplinary way, which we will talk about a bit further down.
Yeah. Well, and just one more thing, like, we're marketed that we don't go to the gym, right? Whenever there is someone working out in the gym and it's not a female. And so you have the dumbbells at home on your Peloton, and that is your strong box. And then the rest of this is marketed to the males. And so it's hard to see yourself in a place when every time you turn on the TV, like, the workout for you is in your home. Like, you have to stay home and you can only work out within these, you know, confines or these constraints.
Interesting. Celine, the Hit Play Not Pause community, you know, we found this massive group of women in their 40s, 50s, 60s, some even older, and myself included too. And we're simply not willing to kind of like lay down and die, if you will. What does it mean to continue to focus on performance as we age? And what does that mean for you too?
Well, I think it's the recognition that performance is for life, right? You know, I mean, I remember there was a point at which I was like, am I going to do this forever? And then I was like, well, why can't I do this forever? I you know, I think that we've always thought of athletes as having a finite career, because you can't, you know, you can't stand on top of the top box of the world forever. You know, I mean, that has a shelf life, you know, but most of us we're recreational lifestyle athletes, which means that we can pursue this as long as we want to. And, you know, I see that in the audience, that they're still super engaged. They still want to pursue things. And when you look at it for the long game, you know, a lot of times you want to shake things up and you want to try different things. And performance for life is all about that. You know, it's about looking at, like, do I want to keep doing the same races over and over? Maybe not. Maybe I want to try CrossFit, or maybe I want to take up, you know, yoga, or try these other things. And it's just having the curiosity and the engagement and the belief that you can. And it comes back to representation too. You know, that's that when we started Hit Play Not Pause, I think the biggest thing that we did was like help all these women see each other.
Yeah, totally. Stacey, I'm going to come to you, but I want the audience to let us know, what does it mean to focus on performance for you all? A lot of people are answering already. I see people that do HIIT training, the recreational lifestyle athlete. I think we all deserve to feel good. But I've been thinking lately too about how you, like, sometimes if I stop doing something, I recognize as I age, and if I stop doing something, it's going to be harder to come back. Right. And then trying to frame, like, okay, what, with that in mind, what do I want the future to look like? So I actually want to be able to do, like, lots of fun things, right, in the future. So how many, like, how much variety of stuff do I have to continue to do, whether that's in the CrossFit gym or elsewhere, to keep me in that place where I can keep doing all of the things? Stacey, I know you're like a super active person personally. When I went to New Zealand, she almost killed us on the the Stacey Sims training program. What are your thoughts, like, for yourself personally about keeping active as you get older?
I do it because it's my own space, right? And I've been doing something since I was 13. And now I just want to be able to do adventures. Like Jara, my daughter's gotten into surf lifesaving, and it's a sport that's not really there in the States. I don't grow up with it, but they grew up with it here. Every Sunday morning, you go to Nippers at the beach, you're learning how to go in and out, you're on the board, you're learning to surf. And people are like, why aren't you doing that? I'm like, okay, but it's a challenge, it's an adventure. So now everything I do is like, how can I beat her? Right. So I had to be strong. I had to be able to balance. I'm learning to jump up on the surfboard, catch a wave, that kind of stuff, but totally not in my wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. So being active is not so much as how am I going to be able to race my bike? Because those times have sailed. Like, I don't have the drive to be competitive bike racing. I have the drive to get up the hill as fast as I can and see if I got a Strava segment. But that's about the extent of competitiveness. But now it's, how can I be strong to do all these other new adventures that come? Because I want an adventure every day. Mm-hmm. And that's how I view it.
Mm, amazing. Yeah. Someone saying, continue to race tries and road races injury free. I like that, Christine. Challenging myself and continuously learning. Okay. So on this podcast and at our Women's Performance Summit, we're going to talk about performance in four pillars. So that's physiology, nutrition, mental health, and culture. And I truly believe that, like, we need to take that multidisciplinary approach to performance. So Stacey, at our Menopause Summit last year, you gave an amazing talk about, it started with like an overview of the historical and cultural factors that affect the approach then that is taken in your world of research on how we see research about women. So can you tell us like how you see history and culture affecting your work as a researcher?
Yeah, and it's not just the research angle. It stems from everything. It's like I was having a conversation on an earlier podcast I was on today about how the patriarchy has kind of shaped how we are supposed to perceive ourselves with regards to performance, like you were talking about earlier, like being in the gym, how uncomfortable you are in the gym. And it's because when we're represented with that idea of going to the gym, what do we think of? We think about Mr. Olympia, right? And so women aren't really welcomed in that space. And it's been that way for so long until recently. And so people are making those steps in, but it's still kind of a taboo for women to be in the weight room, taking the weights and not sharing like the guys do, right? Mm-hmm. So we look at how everything is, the vision and the scope has always been viewed. It stems from way back when men thought that they should be educated and women shouldn't. And men should be medical. And so the women who had been the healers and the providers were now being burned at the stake as witches because it was uncertainty and it threatened the men. And our whole culture has been evolved that way. So everything that we talk about and doing, from coaching protocols, the coaching space, even the racing space, right? The transitions are set up particularly for men. There are no menstrual products anywhere, right? And a lot of women have their period when they're racing, and there's no setup for that. There's no setup for women who might not want to get changed in front of everyone in a transition tent because of cultural aspects, because it hasn't been anything there for, like, it hasn't been the conversation in the male environment. So we take that forward into even my space, the research space. Yeah, so maybe we do have scientific design and methods that take into account the menstrual cycle. Maybe that's set up. But then the tests themselves are still based on male protocols, like the Wingate test, which is typical for looking at anaerobic performance in people, but it's just done on men, and the protocol is done on men. If we think about some of the VO2 max tests, the scaling and the increments still based on men. So none of the actual protocols have changed yet. So we really need to think about, okay, how is this applicable to the energy systems that women use? And people are like, but what do you mean? I was like, well, women fuel differently than men during exercise. We have less creatine than men. So our ability to do the short power stuff is different from men. So we have to look at those particular test protocols in order to get adequate data. And so when we're looking at how patriarchy scopes everything, until we can break out of that complete male lens and really disseminate it down, not only to scientific design, but the actual protocols that we're putting in, this is where I'm like, we still have a long way to go. Because when you say something like, well, coaching hasn't caught up in 20 years, but now people are starting to do menstrual cycle coaching, but they still put it in the too hard basket. And they might just say, oh, track on Garmin, but that's not really doing anything. It's not telling you anything specific about your female athlete. It's just saying, yeah, she has a period. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of education that still needs to happen to be able to break that historical and cultural infusion that has happened in so many of the ways that we operate.
Yeah. What you're talking about is actually crazy if you think about it. Like that the actual protocols of the way that we test VO2 max, as in like the maximum, like someone's maximum aerobic ability, a human, are like not designed for women. So like we actually don't have proper evidence on any. It's it's encouraging in a way because it's like, oh, look at how far we have to go. Like if you feel like your training's not working, right? Or if you feel like there's something amiss, or that you, like I do a little bit, feel like I look forward to a next generation that's going to have better information than I did during my pro career, you know?
Yeah.
And it encourages me that like we can even help bridge that gap between performance between men and women too. Like right now, this kind of this standard acceptance that men are going to be a certain percentage better than women at certain different percentages with different types of things, whether you're doing strength or aerobic or whatever. But like, I think we can start to really bridge that in bigger steps once we start understanding like how to test and improve female physiology. So it's like to me, I mean, yeah. I don't know.
And I'm like, I'm at this age and I'm talking about this and I need younger generation to come and push it. Mm-hmm. Right. Because still like people are like, well, what do you mean? I just did the Bronco test, which is standard in rugby to test how powerful you are. And I was like, but if you look at the Bronco test, that doesn't work for women. Well, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. We always use it. And I was like, but, and so it's those conversations still where people are so tagged into this is how we've always done it, but we're mm-hmm. trying to accommodate women. Mm-hmm. And so it's trying to get people to understand it's not just menstrual cycle. It's yeah. not just not having a menstrual cycle. It's like actual genetic, like what's going on, how having an ovary or having ovaries affects everything. And we need to rethink about how we are testing women.
Right. And like the I feel like for a lot of people, because it feels like a lot to me, right? Like the idea of starting over, it's like burn it all down, start over with the new yeah. protocols for or new tests that are going to actually work for women. Like it does feel like a lot. So I see why there might be a reaction for folks to just go, no. How we do it is fine. Like it's always worked. I can't be bothered kind of thing.
Yeah. Where if someone were to go, here is a couple of $1 million for research funding. What study mm-hmm. are you going to redo? I'd be like, I'm going to redo them all. Start with like the simple aerobic tests that we do.
Yeah.
So even the ones we do in the lab, like ventilatory threshold, that's not accounting for menstrual cycle or not having a menstrual cycle, knowing that that changes across hormone perturbations. Mm-hmm. So there's all these things that I'd like to just redo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anybody out there has millions of dollars who wants to fund female-specific research?
We're here for it. We have an excellent researcher ready to lead the charge. Celine, back to our original question, like, why do you think it's important to look at performance through a variety of lenses?
Oh, boy. I mean, we talk about that every week on the podcast, mm-hmm. honestly, because performance is so much more than can I run a 7-minute mile? You know, I mean, it's how do you feel? It's how you're relating to your body. It's how you're relating to what performance does for you on a mental level, on a physical level. I mean, and it's like everything that you've said, performance is such a broad topic. And when you view it narrowly, that's when you start dropping out. And that's what we see in our audience, right? Like, you know, as soon as you hit a point where things aren't working the same way, or maybe you don't see people of your demographic, then you're just like, okay, this is not for me anymore. I'm not a performance person. And that's, you have to like broaden that scope to be able to see yourself and to enjoy yourself, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about you, Jamila? Why do you think it's important that we look through a variety of lenses?
Well, you know, just to piggyback off of what Celine said, you in the triathlon space as a African-American woman, like there wasn't a lot of representation. And so for me, it gave me permission not to try my best in certain areas. Like, oh, like my swim, you know, I was an adult onset swimmer. And so lack of lots of swim representation led me to believe that I would always be a mediocre swimmer. And it's not even just, you know, the cultural aspect of it. It's when you start, right? And so I'm a late adult swimmer, which means I'll never get good at swimming. And that was the bias that I had, and it's not true. And so I just think that, you know, there are certain areas where culturally it's like, oh yeah, you should be great at basketball. You should be great at these sports where you fit in a small space. I was told I should be a sprinter. And I was like, but I don't like sprinting. I like long distance running. Mm-hmm. And so then that kind of captures, you know, what you're willing to go out and try and what you're willing to go out and give your best to. And I think that, you know, you deserve an opportunity to give your best at whatever drives, like whatever is your passion. And it shouldn't be skewed by, you know, not having representation in that space and not being able to see someone perform well from your culture, your background, your upbringing, like all of those different areas. So, yeah, I culturally, I think, is the biggest part. You know, we talk about how different cultures, you know, women's roles in different cultures and how it's not even permissible in some places for you to be outside of the home exercising. And so we have to look at all of that. And the first space is, let's just look at women. And then we can look at these different areas of it, but it won't start and we won't get there in those different areas until we first acknowledge that, hey, women are not being served by what's currently out here in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we all recognize that, like, we often repeat, like, women are not a monolithic group, right? Like, it's when we're talking about, like, we are kind of identifying, like, women as a category, but for the number of ways of being a woman in the world, there's, like, 50% of the world billion, you know, like, there are so many different ways. So, like, actually part of the process, I think, is listening to individual experiences, especially, like, when we're thinking about, like, what Stacey just said about how, like, we sometimes don't even know what the wrong ways are that we're doing the science, right? Like, you have to ask the question first. And the questions that you ask come out of that lived experience, like, that someone, like, we built it in a way that doesn't serve us, right? We certainly built it in a way that serves more women from certain demographics than others, right? So if we listen to the women who really don't feel well served in the current structure of sport and fitness as it exists in our culture, then we're going to, like, start to be able to create new things. I had a feminism professor when I was in university, and I always remember she was like, if you're ever wondering, like, thinking about making change on something, like, just ask, who does this serve? And that's something, like, if you say you're looking at a list of rules for a game, you know, or if you're looking at, like, I don't know, I live in a group of 9 homes, like, strata council rules, like, anything like that, or even the structure, like, even the way your car is made, right? Like, who does this serve? And then you end up, like, the answers. Like, I know that the gas pedal in my car is not in a position to serve women with small feet. I can tell you that right now, you know? And I'm a pretty average sized person. So that's something that I, like, always use just as a lens. And I think, like, we need to use it too, as we're building, like, as we're building even a podcast like this, to go, okay, to be really careful too, that we're building in a way that serves as many people as we can. So from different demographics. Sorry, I went off on a little tangent there. Thank you, Jamila. Thanks everyone for saying what you're interested in. I think it's, like, the overlap between all of these pillars, like, the intersections are like the most interesting for me. Okay, we're promising our audience advice on how to get the best from their bodies. So I'd like each of you to give the best advice you possibly can as we launch this new podcast to our audience. Who wants to go first?
Celine. I think, yeah, sure, why not? You know, I think being forward thinking and open minded would be my two biggest pieces, because it's very, very easy to get entrenched in, you know, if you had like a good season and that worked for you and like that is the way I'm going to do it. But, you know, we're on the cusp of a lot of discovery here and a lot of greatness here, and just being like open to being like, oh, maybe that is another way, or maybe that will work even better. Like, who knows, right? But you have to be, you know, get out of the rearview mirror and race forward and look at what's ahead of you, and just be open-minded to trying all this new and exciting stuff that's coming down the line.
Mm-hmm. Stacey?
I just add to that, like, I've worked with lots of engineers over the years in the wearable space, and they always go, well, why can't I do it this way? I'm like, the body's not an algorithm. Like, it melds and it changes and adapts to stress. So on the back of what Celine is saying, like, with innovation, don't be afraid to try, because what worked for you last winter might not work this winter because your body's adapted too well to that stress. So if you're looking at what's coming out and taking care of your body and listening to it and then implementing change, who knows what your performance potential could be? Because we don't know what women's performance potential is, because there's so many new things to come out and direct us, or maybe something that came out 3 years ago now doesn't work for women. So it's just really paying attention and understanding that science is ever evolving, and that we aren't linear. We never have been.
I love that. Okay. Can folks, if anyone has questions for our amazing panelists, write them in the chat box now. There's a bit of delay on here, so I want to have them when we're done hearing Jamila's great advice.
So I saw a quote and it said, be brave enough to suck at something new. And I think that, you know, that says tons. Like, be comfortable enough in your skin and your ability to be okay with being bad at something at first, because some of these changes may not be comfortable and it may take you time to adapt to them. And you need to give yourself that space and that time. We're doing the group coaching with Feisty Triathlon, and we're like, hey, don't start moving stuff around the first month until you get a baseline.
Because within you're the trying, week.
Like, yeah. Like, first day, just move your entire training plan. But be okay with, hey, this may suck, right? I may not be good at the slow, long runs, but I know I need to do them. And when you give yourself that permission to be bad at it, then you can actually see the results of following the plan as it's laid out, instead of trying to force the fast days, trying to force the heavy days. Like, sometimes you just need to go slow. It's okay. Mm. And I that's what I have.
Thanks, Jamila. I'm hearing a strong theme of like, listen to your body, because sometimes even the experts don't know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Kristen has a question. Where does most of the funding, research funding come from? And how can we influence that?
So there are lots of different avenues. Like, there's industry research, there are government grants, NIH, putting a hand up now, there's new calls for looking at menopause and perimenopause, but not in the active women's space. So really, if we're looking at small pots of money, industry, like pushing industry to fund more projects. And then that can feed forward into the NIH going, oh, okay, well, now there's all this stuff coming out in the active population, instead of just looking at the pathophysiological aspects of menopause. Let's look at what the active woman goes through. So we start small and push our way into government funding. That's the best way to get funding dollars.
I'm even thinking, you know, there's a movement now for like more VC funding to go to women's medical products or things that are coming out of that research. So I think we're going to continue to see that. Like, we've recognized that there's a gap, and when there's a gap in like research funding products, like whatever that is, but there's also an opportunity, right? And there's also like, it can, you know, innovation then can, you know, what am I trying to say? Snowball on itself. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that.
The one caveat I want to put out there, because a lot of people don't understand industry funding. Mm-hmm. When a company funds your research, that does not mean that you're beholden to them and the results. Mm. People go, well, how is this not biased? It was funded by the dairy board. It's like, well, the dairy board gives you money, but they aren't telling you how to do the science, and they don't have an embargo on your results. And if something comes out that they don't like, it's too bad. It's like, as a primary investigator, I can go back and be like, I'm publishing this anyway. So a lot of people misconstrue what industry research means with regards to the results. Mm. A proper researcher who is wanting to do sound research doesn't let where the dollars come from influence what they're doing.
Yeah, that's a great point. Okay. What are some techniques you use to give yourself permission to rest? We're always so used to pushing. Who wants that one?
I just did that today. Oh. No, I mean, I think the biggest technique I use is to view it as a training day. Like rest days are training days. You know, so like, what do I need to optimize my performance? And I mean, today I made sure I got like really good nutrition and good hydration. And I did some yin yoga and like really went through a mobility session. I'm like, I'm stoked. I did a really good training day. It's just viewing it through that lens, because it is training. It's the most important piece of training you probably do.
Mm-hmm. Like shifting the narrative on that. Jamila, did you?
Absolutely. I'll create a plan, just like what Celine was saying. Like, don't leave that day blank and leave your mind to wonder what to do. Go into your rest day with a plan. Look at your schedule after the rest day. Okay, this is what I have coming up. Let me stretch. Let me do these different things to prepare for those hard sessions. So just use it as a day. Get your equipment ready. Get yourself ready. You know, make sure you have everything that you need to go forward and do those other hard training blocks.
Great advice.
Yes, I might be the odd one where I really, really enjoy high intensity hard work. And I know that if I don't rest, then I can't do it well. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I need to do this so that I can go kill that interval tomorrow. So my rest day yesterday was zorbing and mountain biking with my family. Do you guys know what zorbing is?
No.
Oh my God, it's hilarious. It's this big, huge plastic ball. And they're using the old world's mountain bike course that's in Rotorua. And so you get into the inner part of the ball and it's filled with water and you roll down the hill. But the inner ball moves. It stays stationary while the outer ball moves.
So you don't go upside down.
No, but you're sliding around everywhere and it's like a movable slip and slide. And so they had one that went straight down. They had one that went around corners. And then they had one that did drop offs. So you're like, boom. Vroomp. And it's kind of terrifying and really fun at the same time. So
you control it in there? Like, are you steering?
You can control the speed. No, you don't have any. You can push really hard and run in it, or stand up and push it forward to go faster. Or you try to brake by sitting backwards, but there's really no control inside. You're just going all over the place with water.
Okay, I have a new goal for 2022 right now.
We got to try that.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. Yeah. Do they have it in Boulder?
They might. You have to look it up. Yeah.
Lauren's asking, will there be a menopause summit in 2022?
Yes.
Yes. We have tentative dates, but they might change, so I can't say them yet. But we'll announce that soon. We'll announce that soon.
The fall. It will be the fall.
Yes, it will be in the fall again.
Any last questions? Ask them now. Oh, how to make strength training fun. Running and cycling is my social and events world. Weights don't fit into that.
Make friends in the gym. It's super fun. Just the way you make friends. The way you make friends riding and running, you can have lifting groups too. Like, I started one with a friend down the street who wasn't comfortable going to the gym. And she's just getting back into weights, but we meet every week. And then it's a couple of other people that have come. So there's like five of us that are all doing the same thing, but different weights. And it's become like our little social group. So it's fun, because then you can push each other a little bit too, just like you do running and cycling.
Yeah. For me, it's the music. Like, I put on my noise canceling headphones and I get in a zone, and I just like, I will spend hours making a playlist to make sure. And it's the only time I'm not in the car, I'm not in the house, no one's talking to me, like everyone's in their own space, and I can really just kind of focus in on my music and myself, and you know, that's my peace.
Yeah, good one. Those are a couple great. I use that one for running too, Jamila, the special playlist. Or if I feel like if my mind's just too active to calm down and lift by myself, if I want to, I just I'll put on a podcast or something so that I like learning something, doing something else, lifting. So just like reframing how I'm using that time. know. Thanks for the question, Lynn. How did Feisty begin? Is that, maybe I should answer that question. How did Feisty begin? Oh man, I think, you know what, like, how would I answer this quickly? I think like Feisty began with like bringing people together, right? So first we started doing like live coverage of the pros in Kona. And we were like, oh, we're going to create some media for women in triathlon. Let's start there. Cause that's where like, that's where I was situated. Right. And then when people came to me, like when we had Stacey speak at our Outspoken Women in Triathlon Summit, and we were like, you know, Stacey's message needs to get out into the world. And Stacey's like, yeah, it does. You know, we like start to go down that road. Like it's when we made the goal of trying to shift the culture and try to shift that like cultural paradigm and make it more empowering. Like there's 6,000 ways you can get to that end. And so when people have kind of joined us, like Celine, Jamila, like both in this category too, it's like, okay, what are your ideas about how we do things? And like, I mean, we talked about this before, Celine, about whose idea the podcast really was. I still swear it was yours, but like, you know, what do you want to talk about, and how do you want to make a change? So then like we have the menopause brand. So I think it's just evolving in that way. Like really is like just a lot of like listening and collaboration and figuring out which next steps to take. Do you all train according to your cycles? That's a great question.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I don't have one. I'm done with that.
Yeah. I'm like in the middle ground somewhere where I kind of like listen to my body. Like I'm not so focused on performance right now that I'm actually trying to achieve a fitness goal of any kind. So instead I just kind of take the information that I know and just use it like on a day-to-day basis. Like right now, like I don't really get a period cause I have an IUD, but like, I know that I had my period right now. I know when it is. And then if I'm having an off day, on a day that correlates with an off day in my cycle, I kind of know it. I acknowledge it. I use that knowledge to feel okay about whatever happens in my session, good or bad, or to know when I'm supposed to go strong. But I don't necessarily like track and have tons of evidence, whatever. I just find it empowering to know that information, you know? What about you, Jamila?
I'm learning because I had a hysterectomy in 2016, but I still have my ovaries. So like for 5 years, I was like, I don't care. And then I took Dr. Stacy Sims' course. And I was like, well, now I'm trying to figure out, because I still have like those moments where I'm like, I know what's going on here. Like, this is when I would have had my cycle. So I've been spending the last couple of weeks, like just trying to figure, like get back in that space where I'm aware that my hormones are still cycling, no matter if the, you know, whole package is still there. So.
Great. Yeah. Perfect.
And I still train with my physiology based off of the hormonal changes that I've experienced. Okay. It's just different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Melanie, thanks for your question, Melanie. I have trouble knowing for sure how to listen to my body. How do I know when I really need to rest or if I'm just being lazy?
You're not being lazy.
that was my reaction too.
No, there's no laziness.
You're not being lazy. I'm sure 100% you're not being lazy. How do your stairs feel? Like, I mean, I just honestly use, like, how do I feel when I'm going up the stairs? You can usually tell when you actually need some real rest, you know, versus like you just have a couple kinks to work out. At least I can. Like, if you really tune in, you can pick up those signals. But like, don't ever let yourself be like, I'm just being lazy, because I don't think in this group that exists.
No.
I agree. I think at times when we feel lazy, like it's either nutrition, right? Mm. Like we maybe haven't eaten enough or aren't well fueled, or we're actually a little bit overtired and do totally. Need to rest.
Or it could be mental, you know, and you need that rest too. So like if you're feeling tired, then there is something in your body that needs rest. So like rest it, because it doesn't have to be the physical aspect. You could just, you know, have so much in your head that it's just draining you.
Totally. That's more fatiguing.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I'm seeing this question come up again from Lynn, like, how can I trust my body versus my mind? I feel like we've almost internalized, or I know I have as well, like this notion that we can't trust our own minds, right? And I don't think that's true. Like, I'm with you, Celine, when you're like, no, you're not lazy. Like, that was my first reaction to that question too. And I feel like I learned that the hard way too. If you beat yourself up, you're worse off. Right? Like, you're not lazy. You probably just, it's something else. Just figure out what it is.
Yeah.
Totally. 100%.
Totally. Yeah.
Okay. Amazing. Well, how about we all give some love for our panel and tell them how awesome they are. I've enjoyed this conversation very much. Thank you all. Okay. So as you know, the tickets also went on sale for the Women's Performance Summit. And our coupon code that is for you all for the next 4 days is EARLYBIRD50. And you save $50 on the annual pass, which is actually about a third off. So make sure you take advantage of that. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already, because I'm going to be here every week doing this. And I'm hoping we'll be able to do more live podcasts as well. Okay, so I just want to thank each of you for being here. Thanks, Jamila, Stacey, Celine, for the amazing discussion and for being part of Feisty General. I appreciate all of you. And thank you to Lindsay, Catherine, Ella, and Carrie, who are floating backstage, keeping us on track, and who helped us get organized and on the screen today. Okay, do we have a winner, friends? Thank you to our audience and everyone who's here. Thank you so much for being here, for being part of this conversation. Please feel free to email at any time if you want to hear about something, if you have a guest you want to suggest for the podcast, if there's something specific you want to hear. Like, I want to hear from everyone on this, and I'm stoked to keep recording. Oh, here we go. Carrie Hicks. Carrie Hicks is the winner of the 2 tickets. Yay. Do you know Carrie, Celine?
She's been commenting a lot.
It's good when we provide a little bit of extra ammunition there. Again, thank you all. Looking forward to more on the Feisty Women's Performance podcast. And we'll see you all at the summit, March 25th to 27th.
As we head into summer, rest and recovery are critical for improving sports performance, reducing stress, and living a long and healthy life. We should all invest in better sleep. So, think about the thing you lay your head on for 8 hours a night. If it's not exactly right for you, it can lead to needless tossing and turning, or worse, have you waking up with an unrelenting kink in your neck. My new Lagoon pillow has helped me improve my sleep immensely by pairing me with the performance pillow that has everything I need. So I personally was matched with the Otter pillow, shout out to Team Otter, which I love because it has a gentle cooling effect. And I was able to choose how much stuffing I wanted in it, which is super important to me because I'm doing a decent amount of CrossFit these days and my shoulders are kind of creaky. So having a pillow that is stuffed just to the right height keeps my neck and head in exactly the right position and comfortable for the entire night. And as of fall 2023, Lagoon launched their 100% mulberry silk pillowcases. It's cool to the touch, buttery soft, and great for your skin and hair. You've got to go check out this pillowcase if you want to feel great and look great every morning. Waking up for morning workouts has never felt better. I'm refreshed and pain-free thanks to my Lagoon pillow. To check it out for yourself, go to lagoonsleep.com/performance and take the 2-minute sleep quiz to find your perfect pillow match. And then use the code PERFORMANCE for 15% off your first purchase. That's code PERFORMANCE at lagoonsleep.com/performance, whole 15% off, and the link is in the show notes. You can just click through there. Endurance sports should be accessible to everyone, right? That's why we are so excited to be partnering with Motive. Motive is one of the fastest growing training apps in the world today, with thousands of amateur athletes signing up every month and a nearly perfect 4.9 star rating in the App Store. You are not a template and your training plan should not be either. Prepare for running races, triathlons, cycling events, duathlons, or swim runs, however your season schedule shapes up, and get training written by some of the best coaches in the world in each discipline who know what it takes to help amateur athletes reach their goal on race day. The app takes the training written by those experts and then creates the most optimal training plan for your schedule, abilities, and goals. Plus, the training is fully customized to your race schedule. How much you can train each week, your current abilities, and the goals you want to achieve in your race. You can use the app for free as long as you want, or get all the upgraded features from the app for just $19.99 a month. But as a Feisty listener, you can sign up at mymotive.com and use the code FEISTY for 2 months of full premium access. That's right, you get 2 months of premium for free. So you quite literally have nothing to lose. So head over to mymotive.com, mymotive.com, and use the code FEISTY, FEISTY. And on a personal note, I know the founder of Motive, and he is driven to make triathlon and all endurance sports more accessible for the athletes who care about their performance, but who aren't quite ready for a full-time personal coach. If that sounds like you, definitely try the app for 2 months for free. You literally have nothing to lose.